So I'm here with Chris from the Oxford Wine Festival, and we're going to talk about this year's festival, which is actually this weekend, isn't it?
It's this Friday and Saturday.
I'm really excited.
No, it's going to be fantastic, yeah. I think it's going to be an awful lot bigger. There's going to be an awful lot more going on this year, so we're pretty excited about it. I actually founded the festival last year, so it's the second year we've done it. Mm-hmm. My background is kind of in events and in wine importation, mm-hmm. so it seemed like a sort of obvious thing to set up. And you know, since I live in Oxford and love the city, it's a great place to set up the festival as well. So
are there things that you're doing differently from last year? Things you're building on this year?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a lot more people this year, definitely, looking at bookings at the moment. So that's always very nice. I think there'll be a real buzz this year. Mm-hmm. We've got a much wider range of wine producing countries as well. So we've got a much kind of expanded emerging regions section, which is kind of something I find really, really interesting. So countries which are sort of they have sort of wine industries that are not very well known in the UK, but quite often, you know, they'll produce amazing stuff, but it's kind of generally consumed in their own countries. Mm-hmm. So we've got wines from India, we've got wines from Brazil, Macedonia, Georgia, which is starting to make some really kind of big names for itself in the wine world. So that's a really interesting area, I think, and it's a lot expanded on last year.
Have you got any exhibitors from those places, or is it just wine tasting?
Yeah, no, we've got exhibitors from all those countries. So what we tend to do is we'll go out and find the leading wine expert, mm-hmm. or wine merchant for that particular region, and we'll invite them to kind of host a specialist stall, you know, focusing on that country. So we've got Signature Wines doing Macedonia, who are probably the UK's leading mm-hmm. expert on Macedonian wines and that kind of part of the Eastern Mediterranean. And we've got the Georgian Wine Society, who are doing Georgian wines. They're probably the UK's leading expert on those. So we've got sort of 40 or so, you know, experts in total, each hosting different stalls.
So you get to go and find these experts for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, my other hat is sort of, yeah, as I said, it's in kind of wine import, mm-hmm. and the wine world is fairly small, so you get to know people, you know, and people will recommend, you know, if they've had a nice wine, they'll say, oh, you should, you know, chat to these people, you know, they're bringing in some really good stuff at the moment. So, yeah, it's a nice part of the job to sort of go out and meet these people, and usually they'll, you know, bring out a couple of bottles and you'll chat things through as you try their stuff. So, yeah, it's nice.
What percentage is wine tasting? You get to taste a lot.
Of my job? There was, it goes in kind of waves because you have lots and lots of tastings. For example, in London, they all seem to come at once. And a few months ago, I was just feeling completely sick of drinking wine. I just didn't want to see another kind of wine glass as long as I lived. And then that kind of passes after you've had a sort of few days off and things. But there was a fair amount. There was a few heavy weeks a couple of months back, yeah.
This year's festival, tell me sort of how the days work, what sort of things you can book if you want to go along.
Yeah, so we have, it's arranged in 4-hour sessions. So we have an evening session on Friday night from 6 till 10 p.m. And then we've got two sessions on the Saturday. We've got an afternoon session from 12:30 to 4:30. Mm-hmm. And then an evening session from 6 till 10 again. And you can turn up on the door or you can book your tickets in advance. We've got a fairly extensive tutored tasting program as well. So on each day we have 4 or 5 tutored tastings that you can book into. Quite a few of those have sold out now, but there's still a few places left if people want to go on the website and see which ones are still available. There's also a couple of masterclasses for people who really want to get stuck in, you know, in depth and try some really sort of high-end wines.
Masterclasses for tasting or for making?
For tasting. So they're both led by these people who are called Masters of Wine. There's like 300 of them in the world, and you need to pass the most unbelievably strenuous exams to get it. I mean, you have to be able to like blind taste any wine and tell people what it is and this sort of thing just from the sort of, you know, tasting and smelling it. So they're a very kind of rare breed, and I think we have about 10 of them coming along to this year's festival.
So out of 300?
Out of 300. So it's really nice that sort of people are, you know, taking notice, mm-hmm. and I think it's an event which is hopefully going to sort of become a fixture in the wine world.
Are there, so I don't know, maybe top 5 wines you think people should taste when they go? Is that too hard?
That's quite tricky because I think there's I think I counted them up. We've got about sort of 500 wines on show.
Maybe something you're looking forward to then?
We've got Wines of Australia, the kind of marketing body for the whole of Australia, coming along and sort of bringing their kind of best picks from Australia.
Okay.
So I know for a fact they have some pretty extraordinary wines on their stall, which I reckon will sell out pretty quickly. Mm. You know, really, really high-end wines which you can sample, you know, just with your entry ticket. So that's something I'm going to sort of get in and try before everyone else gets in. And then, I mean, I'm particularly interested in sort of, in new and emerging regions. So I'm going to definitely try the wines from Brazil, the wines from India. Mm-hmm. And then probably at the end of the session, I'll probably hit the champagne stall. So.
But yeah, I guess you have to plan a tactic for the day as well as just which ones you want to try.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, all the wines are kind of listed in the brochure. So the best thing is definitely to sort of sit down for a while. Don't just get completely overwhelmed by the fact there's sort of hundreds and hundreds of them all on display. And yeah, pick the ones that you sort of are particularly interested in and have a nice time. It's taking place in the Oxford Union, which is, it's strange. A lot of people don't seem to sort of know much about the Oxford Union, but it's actually one of the, well, it's the most important debating society in the world, but it sort of hardly ever opens its doors to the public. It's an Oxford University building, which gets these amazing speakers in. You know, they've had like Johnny Depp there and Michael Jackson and all sorts of people. So, I mean, it's a really kind of unique venue. We're kind of very, very lucky that they've let us you know, host a wine event in there. But I mean, it works perfectly for the, you know, for the type of event. It's got beautiful rooms. You know, the tasting rooms are all sort of pretty fantastically decorated. And so, yeah, so I mean, it's also an opportunity just to get inside that building and sort of see what goes on there.
So what happens next? Is it straight to planning next year's festival?
My background is sort of in international event organising, and I still do a little bit of that on the side. Mm-hmm. So in my sort of time off, I'll probably do a couple of, I have to be careful here, but sort of less interesting events or business events for various people that I work for. So I'll do that for a bit. And then, I mean, all the time the festival is kind of in the background and I sort of go and meet people and talk things through with them.
Yeah.
You know, looking for how we can sort of, continue to expand it and bring some really interesting things along.
So it's definitely still on the cards for next year then?
Yeah. I mean, it's, as far as I'm concerned, I think this is just something that's just going to grow and grow. I mean, it's expanded a lot since last year, and I think that's just going to keep happening. Yeah, it'll definitely be happening next year. And yeah, hopefully it'll be sort of even bigger and better then.
Fantastic.
It's an event which I particularly like because it brings together the whole of Oxford. So, I mean, last year we had, you know, everybody from sort of age 18 up to sort of 75. And it's an event which is sort of designed to suit everybody's interests. So, you know, we have the masterclasses for people who really want to get in depth. Yeah. And then we've got everything right down to people who just want to sort of, you know, find a nice bottle to drink on a sort of sunny day. So it's a really inclusive event. You know, we don't go in for the whole sort of wine snobbery thing at all. And it would just be great to have, you know, as many people there as possible, really.
There are food stalls as well, is that right?
Yeah, so we've got a little bit of food. I mean, we don't want the event to sort of turn into a wine and food or food and drink festival because those already exist around here. So the emphasis is very, very much on the wine. But at the same time, you know, you can't really have food. You can't have wine without food as well. So we've got a couple of like award winning local caterers doing sort of some really nice stuff, actually. Some really nice kind of artisan type foods. And then we've got some, you know, a barbecue stall there as well. And then a couple of, other stalls who are doing kind of tapas style, you know, cheese portions to go with the wines. Or they're also, one of the stalls is doing like handmade Belgian chocolates as well. So if you want to sort of, you know, have champagne and chocolates, you can do that.
Nice.
And then, there's sort of various people doing like little tapas style things, you know, olives and Mediterranean foods and this sort of thing as well, so.
And as well as local foods, are there any local, I mean, how local would be a local wine maker? And have you got any of them?
There are a few local winemakers. I think the closest one is probably in Abingdon.
Okay.
They're not actually at this year's one. Part of the reason is just because we have quite a sort of limited space in the English wine room.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've got a few vineyards from sort of Sussex. We've got one from Dorset. The very best kind of vineyards, English vineyards, tend to be down on the south coast, sort of around the South Downs and this kind of area. So, I mean, we've got probably four of the very best vineyards, you know, from the whole of the UK attending. So they tend to be sort of in that kind of area.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're really kind of, something I really want to push is the whole English wine sort of renaissance, because I mean, English wines these days are, you know, some of the best in the world. I mean, they're in blind tasting competitions, they're beating bottles of champagne, you know, award-winning bottles of champagne. And it's a fairly regular thing. You know, they're winning over and over and over again. I mean, they're absolutely incredible quality, but I don't know, for a lot of people, I think English wine is still a little bit of a joke. Mm. And sort of, you know, they conjure up really insipid, pretty badly made bottles of, you know, something anemic and sort of, yeah, yellowy looking. But I mean, yeah, the very best English wines these days are, you know, as good as anything being produced anywhere in the world.
Why is that? What makes it so good?
It's a couple of reasons, actually. The first is that there's just an awful lot more money and research going into it now. I mean, we've got Plumpton College is a world-renowned wine-making college. I think it's just outside Brighton. And they're turning out a lot of, you know, really kind of high-level winemakers who really know what they're doing. And, you know, as more and more research is done and people work out the best spots to grow, you know, the vineyards, the wine's just going to get better. The other reason, ironically, is actually global warming.
Right.
And if you can sort of say such a thing, I mean, one of the good things about global warming is that the sort of ideal climate for growing sort of sparkling wines in particular is moving from the Champagne region north to the south coast of England. And the soil in Champagne and in certain bits of the south of England is exactly the same. There's a kind of shelf of a particular type of soil. So you actually have champagne houses buying up land in the south of England now, because they know that if global warming continues, champagne will get steadily worse and the south of England is going to get steadily better. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting sort of sort of flip side to global warming, I suppose. It's a big issue. I mean, there are certain areas of France where they're really struggling. You know, I think it possibly is in sort of Burgundy and places like that, where, you know, they're just not getting the kind of climate that they used to, which means that they're struggling more and more to produce sort of, you know, the quality of wines that they've become renowned for centuries. And then, yeah, other areas are sort of developing a wine industry because the same thing is sort of happening in reverse to them. So, there are sort of things happening in the wine world as a result of global warming, which are going to have a pretty big impact, I think. You know, it requires such specific conditions to produce great wines that if things like temperature and humidity and rainfall and everything are all kind of changing and going haywire, like they sort of seem to be to a certain extent, then, yeah, it's going to have a sort of fairly big knock-on effect, yeah.
So is that why these emerging places that you were talking about, are they called emerging regions because it's a new thing, or just because we're only just discovering wines from those regions?
It's kind of a mixture, and it's different in every case. So, for example, Georgia was actually the place where winemaking started.
Okay.
So they've been making wine since Neolithic times, like way back, you know, 5000 BC kind of thing. So you certainly couldn't say that it's new to wine. Quite often, you know, they've got a winemaking culture which has existed for a very long time, but they're looking for new markets, or, you know, globalization makes it easier for them to sort of send their wines overseas. And then you have, you know, countries like China where, as far as I'm aware, they haven't really had any kind of history of winemaking, but, you know, they see the rest of the world producing wines and doing well from it. And in a country the size of China or India, for example, you're always going to have somewhere which is going to be well suited for making wine. So in their case, you know, it's a sort of question of why not do it? And again, China is, for quite a few years, there have been some really awful Chinese wines around. But again, in the last few years, there's started to be some vintages coming out which are really quite nice, and people are starting to sort of take them seriously, I think.
What do you think is the worst wine you've ever tasted?
I mean, I have to say I had some really awful Indian wines at the London Wine Fair a couple of years ago. And again, I mean, India is one where it's a steep learning curve and there's starting to be some really great wines there. So we've got an exhibitor called Character Wines. It's actually run by a master of wine, again, who's bringing over some really, you know, fantastic Indian wine. But it's, yeah, certainly a few years back, there were some that were being put on display that tasted kind of really strangely sort of like muddy, and just something was just pretty badly wrong with them.
Right.
And so, yeah, it wasn't a particularly nice experience.
And can you name the best, or is that
the best wine
you've ever tasted?
Oh dear,
is that too hard?
Yeah, I mean, I like most wines, to be honest. I mean, I've had some. It's slightly boring, but I think the best ones I've had have been sort of from Bordeaux, and there's just something which sort of slightly kind of elevates them above all the others. But I mean, it's very hard to say what my favourite one would have been, because generally, you know, if it's a half decent bottle, I'll enjoy it, you know, in different circumstances and stuff. So I mean, the website is www.oxfordwinefestival.org. We've got a Facebook page and a Facebook event where we post sort of updates on, you know, what's going on and all sorts of information about what you can get involved in during the day. We're on Twitter as well. I think it's Oxford Wine Fest. So you can find us there too. If you want to sort of connect with us, if you have any questions, then just get in touch and we'll be very happy to let you know what you need to know.
Thanks very much for coming in and chatting.
That's okay. My pleasure.